Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. It's Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays over there, so stop on by, check out what went up there yesterday. Now, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man. With three E's.
There you go. Good folks. Well, we had a little more, fun NBA news today, Dan. It looks like Paul George is going to be staying with the Clippers for a while. They added 4 years to his contract. Now, of course, he's not doing this out of the goodness of his heart. He's going to get paid $190 million. So not bad work if you can get it, huh?
No, I mean, you got to cash in. For all that money, that ESPN money runs out.
Yeah, which I don't remember how long that contract is, but you got to figure it's not going to be too much longer. So, if I was a player, I would definitely be, looking to make sure I land at least one big contract. But it does, him sticking around gives the Clippers a reasonable chance of hanging around with the Lakers. You put Paul George with Kawhi Leonard. They were incredibly disappointing last year, but is it difficult for you to hold last year against any athlete in any sport? Because I can't seem to, I just kind of like, well, it's 2020. What the hell? It's not like they were playing a full season.
Yeah, well, I mean, the NBA of all the leagues was only, there were some that were ready to chalk, oh, the Lakers won, yeah, big deal, it wasn't a real season, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, do you watch sports? Because they only missed 9 games. So it's that was not a big deal. 9 freaking games, big deal. Compared to Major League Baseball, where you miss basically the entire season. A rookie doesn't even qualify, technically, after last season. I can't put it in place, like you said. You can't blame any of the players because when did they cut the season? In March?
Yeah.
March, and then they didn't come back for how many months? So, it is what it is. But, we're talking about Paul George. Talking about somebody else. But, depending on – well, I was going to say, that the Staples Center would be the hottest ticket in L.A. if anyone can go, right? You got the Lakers. You got everyone on the Clippers side. I mean – that's got to be the hottest ticket in town, but no one's going to go. So what are your thoughts on it? Oh, and it looks like that ESPN, ESPN TNT and the NBA was a 9-year, $24 billion deal that started on the 2016-17 season. So, by the time these contracts wrap up, that contract will be over, and we'll see where the league is at. We'll see if viewership comes back, and I'm sure by the end of this contract, it'll basically be everyone makes the playoffs.
Yeah. You look at Georgia's stats from last year, and he had a bit of a down year. I mean, he only averaged 16.3 points, but he wasn't even playing 30 minutes a game. You know, he's a load management guy, even though he's only 29. So, you know, they're monitoring his minutes and his games and, you know, all that stuff. But they're not going to win with him scoring just 16.3 points a game. He's got to get back, you know, closer to that 20 number. And again, you know, with the way 2020 went, I'm not holding anything against anybody as it comes down to, you know, a player. You know, like Schomburg, Stu and I were, you know, trading emails, and I mentioned to him that Kyle Schwarber was gaining a lot of interest as a free agent, just to use somebody, because Stu doesn't know much about basketball besides the Bulls. And he, of course, immediately went into, well, why would anybody want him? You know, he didn't even hit 200 last year, and threw out a couple other stats. And, like, it's last year doesn't even really count. But, you know, that's how. Oh, and I realized I read George's numbers wrong. He did average over 20 points. He averaged 21.5 last year. So, you know, when somebody starts going, well, he only did this in 2020, I don't care. You know, I mean, you're going to hold it against a guy like Kyle Schwarber because he hit under 200, but yet you forget to mention that Christian Yelich hit 218. So are you going to hold that against Yelich? No, you're going to hold, you know, you're going to try to use it against a guy that you're upset with. And I get it. That's, you know, I know, like, Paul George really struggled shooting in the bubble. For whatever reason, it was just one of those oddities. But they're not going to be in the bubble this year, so he should get back to form. And, you know, again, we'll kind of see how it works out here. But, you know, I think the Clippers may have lost too much to compete with the Lakers. You know, they lost Montrezl Harrell, who was sixth man of the year. I thought they lost the Morris brother they had. I'll have to look and see what their roster actually looks like. But, you know, they're changing coaches, and, you know, there's obviously a lot of other stuff going on when you do that. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can hang around, but I think they may actually be in worse shape to face the Lakers this year than they were last year. So,
yeah, and I was messing myself up. You said Paul George. I was thinking of Chris Paul, but I forgot he's not with the Clippers anymore. Whatever happened to Blake?
Yeah, I believe Blake is still in Detroit.
Right.
I believe so. I don't think he was a free agent this off season, but let me see what I can find on Blake here while I'm on the site. He played in 18 games last year. Only averaged 15.5 points. Let's see if they got some contract info here on Blake. Really? Yeah, they don't have any contract info here. Maybe there's something down at the bottom of his player page. Blake may actually be a free agent. They don't have, or no, wait, there we go. He does have one more year. I'm all over the place. He's got two. He signed for this year. You ready for this? He's going to make almost $36.6 million. And if you think that's good, next year he'll make almost $39 million over the final 2 years of his contract. So, yeah, Blake is picking up really good money for a career that is just kind of
stagnant.
Slowly. Yeah, I don't even know how you would describe it. You know, he had a 2018-2019, he played really well for them. He actually played in 75 games. He stayed relatively healthy. But again, you know, it is last year. Maybe he just took off to try to rest up with all his injuries, but, you know, he only played in 18 games. And, you know, unfortunately for him, Detroit's not a playoff team. So, you know, I don't know, you know, what they're, you know, what they're going to be. And looking at those numbers, I doubt that they could deal him. You know, I don't know anybody who would be willing to pick up that. You know, when he was in his prime, yeah, sure, but his prime was probably right before he got to Detroit, unfortunately for the Pistons and their fans. But, again, just thinking, you know, about what I'm trying to think, is it 10 days or 12 days or something? You will be able to pay to have Blake Griffin on your team in our Yahoo Fantasy League.
Oh, that's my league. I got it. Everything's all good with that league, right?
That league is all good. It's locked, and we're all ready to go. We don't have anything to worry about. The next one for us is hockey. Like I said yesterday, we will have the hockey set up here very soon. 20 teams free league through Yahoo. You want to play, you know the deal, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Link, get yourself signed up.
When's December 19th? Oh, it's a Saturday.
Well, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's next Saturday.
That's
coming up on us. And Big Jack, I'm just double-checking so we don't have this weird divisions lined up. And 20-team league, we have five teams in each division this year. Or
was it basketball that we had that weird thing happen last year?
No, it was actually the NFL, the football league, one of them.
Is it? Okay.
Let's see which. Let me double check. It's just, I think it's the Snake League. That's just the most bizarre. Yeah, the Snake League. Because your division is just with four teams, and mine has six. So, you know, we're like the old National League.
It must have just been kind of glitch, but that's the first time I've ever seen anything like that happen. So, I ask, have you done a model to get your points and stuff?
No, I kind of gave up on caring about those medals. It's so difficult because mock drafts for auction just aren't that exciting.
No.
You know, for whatever reason. You know, regular mock drafts are cool, but it gives you no, you know, there's really no, you have really no idea how it's going to turn out. Plus, don't forget, you got to do like 25 mock drafts to get your coin, so 25 or 50. I will say, Big Jack, I don't know how much of this you've been monitoring, but, you know, generally when our seasons are over, it's, you know, the bottom five are gone. But as I'm looking at the Snake League, you know, we have one 1-12 team and then 1-2-11. But in all likelihood, it looks like the majority of almost everybody is still in it.
Well, that's
did
good.
You see anybody, you know, I didn't know if you were checking to see if anyone was actually, you know, aside from those two bottom dwellers, was not participating.
No, I haven't went in to kind of see who's been changing and who hasn't. It was very obvious we had the two dead teams just for the fact, you know, they were, you know, losing constantly. So,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
but
you could,
other,
you could tell.
I have to. Yeah, so, you know, and in most cases, it's really obvious. You know, you start looking at the team. You know, it's difficult to go every week without being lucky enough to somebody. You know, same thing like one win. You know, you look at it. Like, I played the team with one win the other day or the other week, and I was actually a little concerned because I had a lot of guys out. That was the weird week with the Steelers and the Ravens and the COVID thing and, you know, all that crap. And then I knew I wasn't going to be around to get to the computer because of my surgery. I was like, man, I don't want to lose to this team. Then I went in and looked and realized the lineup was set up at the max. He could have scored about 50 points. I was like, well, I'm not losing to this guy. So,
yeah.
In reality, we should have probably taken it over a long time ago, but I just hate doing that. You know, especially after so many weeks, because you look at it and, you know, if you take it over after 4 or 5 weeks, well, there's already teams that have had the opportunity to play them and get that win.
Yeah.
But now everybody else has to compete against them, you know, because we're going to be changing the lineups for their competitors. You know, it's hard enough to manage, you know, ours is two leagues with basketball and hockey. We only do the off. But, you know, it's difficult enough to manage your teams, let alone somebody else. And then, you know, I still have to compete, you know, in our money league. So it's not, you know, the last thing you really want is another team. So.
Yeah, and, you know, I got some slack on that last year in the baseball league, you know. Hey, how come you have two teams? I'm like, wow.
Oh, 2 years ago. 2 years ago. No.
Yeah. What do you have two teams for? I'm like, well, the other guy quit for the season, so.
Yeah, what a jerk. Who would do that?
You know, a couple things. Major League Baseball-wise, though, you know, the Rule 5 draft results came out. You know, I don't know, was there anyone that popped off your list? I mean, obviously, Jordan Sheffield being picked up by the Rockies from the Dodgers just because of the last name, but nothing big news, big names. I did see, where is it? I just had it. This is the one thing I wanted to talk to you about. You know, over the last couple of days, we've seen all the Major League Baseball sending out their invites to teams for, you know, to maintain their minor league systems. And, you know, while some teams were dropped from affiliation, they were picked up by other teams. So there's been a huge shuffle. There's going to be a lot of upset fans and then, obviously, cities, towns, owners, and whatnot. But the one thing Major League Baseball did, and I was trying to find out where it was at, but, you know, former Chicago Cub affiliate, Kane County Cougars, one that's still pretty close to you and I, they put out a tweet or whatever, and Facebook message, whatever, however I saw it, that they are now a part of this new league, and of course it's not on their website, this new league that is open for a bunch of teams, and basically, you know, they were a Cubs affiliate, and then up until last year they were an Arizona Diamondbacks affiliate, but now they are a part of a league where, however the league is working, any of their players can go to any team in Major League Baseball. So I didn't know if you saw too much about that, read into that, or heard about that, because this one kind of popped up out of nowhere for me. Oh, and, you know, and here's the post. I found it on Facebook. Introducing the Kane County Cougars 2.0. They moved to MLB Partner League in 2021. So, you know, they're affiliated with they're not affiliated with one team, you know, they're affiliated with the entire league now. So I would assume it's kind of like almost similar to the G League where, I know that was different, you know, they were trying to put that league together. But, you know, so some guys can come here and there. Have you heard much about this? I really couldn't find anything yet.
Okay, this is the Cougars we're talking about? That's often Cubs, and I was confused.
No, I said the King County Cougars.
Yes, that partly you said the Cubs. And I was like, wait, what happened? So I was, if it's either way, it doesn't squat about this. I don't know who's affiliated with who or who's going to be with what anymore. So I'm still kind of waiting to see what I had to do.
Well, no, I said that the Cougars used to be affiliated with the Cubs, but now they're
right.
Part of this new league.
Hey, you go back on TuneIn when we're done and you listen, and it'll tell you what you said. All right?
No, I didn't think they're part of the Cougar South Bend Cubs. I just thought that was interesting. I still haven't found anything about this league. If you wanted, there was a tracker out there with all the major league affiliates, which I don't think that's superly important right now. But that's one of the things I've been having trouble finding in this league is this, partner league. And I thought it was a pretty cool concept, to where any other players could just get plucked from, their team. But the fact that, everyone's still going to have their four teams, how conducive do you think this will be? And how many times do you think we'll actually see a guy coming from the Cougars or any of those teams affiliated with them?
It could be interesting, but then, you kind of realize that most of the talented guys are signed. So, what kind of players are we going to get here? That would be my first question. If we could figure out, what level are we getting? Kind of like we did with the football leagues. Are we getting Class A, Class Double A? Where are they set at when it comes to this thing? And I mean, are you getting these released minor league players that are going to be available because we're going to have less teams? Getting, maybe a 24 or 5-year-old who didn't make it in his first shot, looking for another one. So, I have probably just as many you do about it. Obviously, it's a pretty cool idea. And I wonder how much of this they adopt the XFL. If you remember, the XFL basically signed an extra team of guys that continued to work out during the season. If you got an injury, you went to this team and took a player. He was up and ready to go and working out. And it seems like this is what a lot of, if a team goes here, well, you're going to get a guy who's actually been playing. But here's my question, Dan, being that the fact that your father is a big union guy, is this now a way for teams to avoid starting the arbitration clock on a player instead of calling up one of their own guys? They can go to this league to a guy they know they're only going to keep for, say, weeks due to injury or maybe the rest of the season. Is this an alternative for them now?
I guess I never even thought of that. Because, I did find that the Pioneer League is becoming one of their partner leagues. So I don't know how the King County Cougars fit into that. The American Association, there's several of them. But I guess that is a good point. And, I think the arbitration clock issue is going to be addressed. Is the CBA already coming up, isn't it? After 2021 season?
After 2020. After 2020 it comes up.
So, I think that'll be addressed in there. So, but you know, that's a huge thing I guess I never even thought of. I mean, you know, for me, the way the King County Cougars described it, it is kind of an exciting thing, because you're going to give some guys who may not get a chance because they're stuck in a pipeline. You know, let's just use the, you know, 2017 Cubs, for instance. Everybody that can play all plays the same position. Everyone plays shortstop. You know, everyone in the farm system was going to. Go ahead.
And you know why that is?
Why? Oh, because they could play it. You could play any position if you could play shortstop, which I don't buy to begin with. But, everyone was a middle infielder that the Cubs had drafted. So in your theory, or from what you're saying, though, this is a good opportunity for some of these kids because, you know, where they'd be stuck in that pipeline where they're never going to get a chance being, you know, behind Javi Baez or prior Chris Bryant. Now you're in a league where you get hot and all of a sudden Chris Bryant, you know, hurts his shoulder and can't play. You can go, you know, you could go play for the Cubs, even though you may have started in a system where you were going to, you know, in the pipeline for the Yankees, which you're never going to see because they have 1,000 first basemen. So
right.
In essence, I thought, you know, for me, for my end, that's where I thought it was a cool idea. But, you know, you brought up the other side of it is while Manfred had eliminated a lot of these minor league teams, the ones that stick to it, those players in that pipeline are almost getting screwed. I don't mean to laugh, but I didn't even think of it that way. So it's an interesting move. I mean, I did feel, though, and, you know, no knock on any of the minor league teams, but I did kind of have a feeling. I just felt like there was way too many to begin with. You know, when you take a major league team and they have 7-8 affiliates, you know, oh, well, you know, for the Cubs, you're going to go play up in Eugene for 3 weeks. And then, you know, you're going to go to Myrtle Beach for the rest of their season. And then when their season's up, you can go finish up in South Bend or Iowa. And then if you're lucky, you'll get your September call up. So, I mean, some of it just seemed like it was, you know, redundant to have that many different leagues. And then you have the Arizona Fall League, which I think can be confusing too, because if you turn on an AFL league game, you know, you've got these guys all on one team, but, you know, one guy, the pitcher's hat says, you know, Houston, and the first baseman's hat is a Cubs hat, you know, kind of going through that. So, you know, I'd watch those, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? You know, is this just a mishmash? So I think it's going to be interesting. And, you know, we had talked about prior to what is Rob Manfred's legacy going to actually be when he's done. And I think this will be it. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, though. I know a lot of people are angry with him right now.
You know, that's how it is when you're commissioner. So.
Yeah. I mean, it could be worse. You know, he could be trying to cover stuff up.
The weird thing is, like, I like this concept. You know, I just kind of want to see how it's executed, you know, because there, you know, there's going to be a lot of places that are used to having baseball, you know, small towns and stuff, especially on the East Coast. You know, they eliminated quite a few of those teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, it gives an opportunity for, you know, games to come back or however teams are going to work with it. You know, I know they're planning on putting an independent league together out there with the teams that they eliminated. So, you know, and that's one of the things I would like to know, you know, is this going to be a step up from that? You know, because obviously, you know, teams aren't calling independent teams to sign their players.
No.
So, you know, it's an interesting idea. I just want to see how the concept plays out. I guess we'll have to keep checking their website to see if they get it scheduled.
Yeah. That, and then how does it, like you said, how does it affect the players? And what kind of league are we seeing? You know, you and I have talked a million times. We've talked a million times about there's obviously, we all know, single A, double A, triple A, you know, high A, low A, middle A, you know, A plus, B plus, you know, all those different versions. And then when there's some of these guys in the majors, you and I have talked about, I don't have anyone off the top of my head right now, but there's a lot of guys who are more or less destined to be, you know, quadruple A players. And as I'm on the Kane County Cougars website, like I said, they haven't updated anything because it still says Class A affiliate for the Diamondbacks. But, you know, that's something you and I have talked about. Will this be this partner, these partner leagues, will this be a league of guys that are essentially those in-betweeners? They're really good when it comes to minor league baseball, but when it comes to being a pro, they're kind of like Kyle Schwarber. They can't barely hit 200.
Yes.
I had to throw that in. You know, yeah, I mean, you know, that was like when Ben Zobrist, and this one just killed me. I get it. You want to get excitement going on, you know, get excitement behind a guy coming back. Ooh, Ben Zobrist hit 3 home runs down in South Bend, and then he hit another one in Myrtle Beach, and then, oh, okay, well, that's what he should hit a home run every at-bat because he's a major league ball player, and these are all young kids still trying to make it to the majors, so he should be doing that. You know, not like Ian Stewart, who was getting paid $1.2 million to play in the minor leagues, which was another one of those smartest guy in the room moves. But, you know, I mean, are the partner leagues going to be that where, you know, where you and I might actually want to go to a Kane County Cougars game because we're, you know, we don't want to pay the Cubs prices and, you know, the Sox might be too far for you.
That's a kid.
But, you know,
a lot easier for me to walk at those games.
Yeah. So, but you know what I mean? It's like, I guess I never even thought of that. Is this going to be essentially the best talent that is better, you know, better than the minor leaguers, I guess. So like you said, it's, I guess it's one of those we have to wait and see, but you know, nobody's updating anything. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, once they get a roster and you get an idea of who you're looking at and what you're going to see, it'll make it a lot easier to kind of be like, oh yeah, cool. That's something I want to check out. So, yeah, you know, and until then, it makes it real difficult to be like, you know, other than that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's us, it's you and I getting excited over a good idea that we have to hope works out.
Yeah. I did, you know, I mean, obviously the major league teams had to make their formal announcements, but I was just thinking, man, if the Cubs didn't, you know, invite South Bend, what a kick in the junk that would have been.
Yeah. You know, and unfortunately, you know, they're tough decisions to make.
Yeah.
You know, move, because, you know, some of these teams have been with organizations for long times. So.
Well, you know, I brought that up about the Staten Island Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, I should have bought one of their fitted hats before they got, you know, but they found out from a post, they didn't even get a letter from, you know, from the head honcho. They were sitting there one day scrolling through Facebook or Twitter, and they're like, wait a minute, we're not affiliated with the New York Yankees anymore? You know,
going, hey,
one,
guess what, guys?
You know. You go to check your bank account and your direct deposit didn't deposit.
just one of those funky things that, you know, does happen. You know, I mean, you hear it now, especially, I mean, how many people find out stuff from the internet before they actually find it out for themselves. So,
yeah. And I've heard that a little bit more with football. I forgot who the guy was down in Carolina, or wide receiver, running back maybe. You know, he was driving and actually heard that he was traded while he was on the car, on the radio.
Yeah, there's been a lot more of those. You know, obviously now as the internet is, you know, the thing, you know, and like you always say, you know, everybody wants to be the one to break the story. You know, you get, you know, it's like, oh, you know, hey, let's, you know, let's do this or let's do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're announcing, like you said, on the radio, hey, so-and-so is going to, you know, and they're listening to the radio.
Yeah, and, you know, and until those deals are actually finalized, you know, sometimes the reporters, I think, get a little ahead of themselves. I mean, you know, we talked about Adam Eaton on Tuesday, and, you know, it wasn't official till today, actually.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot that goes into making a deal. You know, and obviously they're reported before they're official. But, you know, that's, again, that's the news cycle now. You know, you know, and a lot of them get reported because, you know, nobody's seeing an issue with the deal. You know, as long as things look like they're going to line up, it's genuinely okay to report it. Obviously, there have been some cases where, you know, you hear somebody's going here or this is going to happen. And, you know, it almost kind of happened here yesterday with James McCann. You know, everybody was ready to report that he's going to be signing with the Mets. And apparently the Mets still look like they're the front runner to sign him. But as of late, there's been a little more competition jumping in. So maybe the fact that they announced that the Mets were going to sign him brought out these other teams who were interested. So, but yeah, that, again, that's just part of where we live in now. And then yet oddly, Dan, I never see the guy who reported it on the internet ever retracted if he gets it wrong. So I guess that's just not part of the deal, right? You can say whatever you want and then you don't have to take it back.
Yep.
So, all right, Dan. Well, I saw this just as we were getting started, and I was waiting for us to get to baseball because I thought this was pretty interesting. You know, the Chicago guys, you know, you and I, you're a Cub guy. I'm just kind of a baseball guy who likes to see the Cubs do well. Now, what we're all still trying to figure out here after the Theo Epstein exit and all that stuff is what the hell is this team going to do? You know, and now Schomburg Stu is convinced that they're going to go through another kind of rebuild. And now I'm starting to wonder if maybe he's right, because there's a lot of rumors today that Yu Darvish is on the trading block, Dan.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So if they go this route, I guess, A, what are they going to get in return for Darvish? And B, how are you going to feel about a second rebuild?
How do I feel? I would already lose all respect or... Hey. How do you even word this? Because we don't really know much about Jed. Everyone's going to sit there and tell you, oh, Jed this, Jed that. Well, he hasn't done anything without Theo. And it just tells me that it's going to be the same thing over again. If you want to go with a complete rebuild, that's, you know, and I guess I can't even say I can't lose or gain any respect for Jed, because this is the position he's been put in. He doesn't really have a choice.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, you think about it. I just don't know. You trade Yu Darvish. Sadly, when you think about it, you know, if you're any other team, who's going to bring you the most value to your team on the Cubs, from the Cubs? Yu Darvish.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, yeah, because he's the guy with the contract. You know, you know, everybody else is in the last year or a year or two, you know, just right away from free agency. So, Yeah, Darvish is definitely the you know, the looked like the best chip here.
I mean, you think about it, you're depending on what your needs are, like if you're looking for someone to, you need really good defense, you know, are you going to entertain the idea of maybe taking on Jason Hayward? Yeah, if the Cubs pick up, what was it, half to two thirds of the money, which the Cubs, you know,
yeah,
they're
probably
not going to do that. You know, no team's going to do that. You know, this is not a knock on the Cubs at all. Nobody's going to do that unless it's the last year of his contract, and I believe he's not a free agent until 24. So, you know, that's kind of he's gone. He's stuck with the team. He's not, I don't know. To me, he's not a bad player to have on the team. The money was too high, but what are you going to do? Someone was going to pay it. Unfortunately, it was the Cubs who did it. So you've got that going for you. Think about it, Kyle Hendricks. I don't know who his agent is, but again, like you said, another guy who's in arbitration. He might be coming up soon. I don't know if it's this year, next year. You're not going to give up a whole lot for him. He had a down year, especially. Chris Bryant.
Hang on. Actually, with Kyle Hendricks, he signed a contract last year. He's got a 4-year deal.
Oh, he did.
3 years with 3 years with a vesting option. And he's very affordable at $14 million. So he could be a big piece too.
Yeah, but I don't know. What's left on Yu's contract? Is it 3 years or 2 years?
Yu's got this year, or actually, no, he's got 3 years left, 21, 20, or yeah, 21, 22, 23. And his numbers are going down. It's $23 million this year, then it goes down to 20, and then down again to 19.
So, I mean, you got that going for you. He's the one who's going to bring back the most prospects. You know, if I'm, you know, and let's just throw the Dodgers out there just for the hell of it. Justin Turner, I'm assuming, is gone or is going to be gone. You know, are you in that dire need that you would go after Chris Bryant and give up 3 or 4 prospects? I don't think so. Knowing that he's a Scott, well, I mean, the Dodgers, if anybody could do it, but,
yeah,
you know, and I think, I don't know, I think Scott Boras would be a little bit more kinder to them, but you still don't have that guarantee. He's going to go back, he's going to go on the market regardless of where he is. You know, whether he sits out there for a month and then re-signs with the team he gets traded to, but he's not going to bring you back the most value. You know, and Javi, I don't know, if you want to entertain and keep your fans happy, you have to sign Javi Baez. If Javi Baez is not a Cub next year, it's going to, or, you know, in the next couple of years, it will really kill the fan base.
He's the other guy in his last year arbitration.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I think you would survive and bounce back if you were able to trade Anthony Rizzo. But, you know, and I think any team would take him. Think about that contract. He got the shaft.
Well, you know, he negotiated it. His agent negotiated it. So.
Yeah, that's true. But he has a very friendly contract. So I don't think the Cubs would want to trade him because of that too. So he's not going anywhere.
He's in the last year of it. So if
Yeah. But you're not going to get any major league ready players for Anthony Rizzo. I don't see. You're not going to get any pitching back. You're definitely not going to get another first baseman back.
So yeah, but it's an interesting question. But what you didn't answer was, how do you feel?
I don't know, disappointed. But you know, can you be mad at Jed? I think you can at the same point, because he had an office, and he said this in his press conference. Him and Theo had an office to where they could sit there and yell back and forth as opposed to picking up a phone or shooting an email. And I don't, you know, I don't know if their relationship was more so where he was yesing it all the time and just kind of going along for the ride. Cause I mean, hell, Big Jack, I think you and I would have both gone along for the ride. I just probably would have left at the same time. Cause let's be honest, do you really want to deal with this BS? So
yeah,
I don't
know.
I'm not super excited about it.
You know, obviously Jed is going to be the one who gets all the fingers pointed at him because he stayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When this goes, you know, when this goes downhill, everybody's going to blame Jed, except for you and I, because this is not Jed's fault. You know, partially
no.
It is because he was the general manager, but Theo
yeah.
was making all the decisions. You know, but like now, you know, what I really wonder, Dan, is, all right, you're going to go through this. We're going to try it again. Maybe the fans will give you some leeway because you did do it successfully again. But, you know, there are still a lot of teams doing this, Dan. I mean, there are a lot of questionable teams out here. I mean, you know, obviously the Pirates and the Royals are kind of perpetually in this state. The Tigers
yeah.
are rebuilding. The Indians are trying to rebuild. The Mariners are still rebuilding. It looks like the Rangers are going to go through it. You know, I don't know what the hell the Reds are doing. I mean, they've basically gotten rid of their entire starting pitching staff. All they have to do is move Sonny Gray. You know, it looks like the Diamondbacks are starting on a rebuild. If they're all doing it at the same time, you're not going to get anything back because there's too many players on the market.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's only so many players the Yankees are going to take or the Braves are going to take, or, you know, maybe you can score with the Mets because they look like they're on the way up, but how many prospects do the Mets have? So I don't know if this is the time to be doing it. And I mean, in reality, it looks more like if you could just go out and get the pitching, you yourself could contend. You know, I mean, there's,
yeah.
there's only maybe one move to make in the everyday lineup, and that's get yourself a left fielder, and you'll have a pretty good everyday lineup. So fix the pitching and go for it. Don't dump it on us. Okay, well, we're going to why are you going to rebuild this? You could win.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I,
you know,
I do want to throw this one out there. Big, for your team in Seattle, I think it's a forced rebuild. I think, you know, they made some good moves that just, for whatever reason, nothing worked out for the last, you know, 5 years. So they just done a string of bad luck.
It was time for them to try to do something, you know, so I was okay with it. You know, and luckily they started theirs before I think everybody else did. So they hopefully they're ahead of the game now, but who knows? But yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You know, holding here just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
No,
you know,
it,
there's
it
no.
Not, especially,
you know, if they were in the NL West, okay, great. We're not going to beat the Dodgers. Let's see if we can reload and beat them. There's no team like that in the Central.
No. Oh, and trust me, I have a couple Cardinal fans who are like super optimistic, Big Jack. You know, they see
right.
this move, that move, they're like, and everyone's like, what are the Cardinals going to do? Probably the same thing they've done in the last couple of years. Nothing.
Nothing, yeah. You know, they'll make minor little ads to keep themselves competitive because that's what the Cardinals do. They rarely go out and sign the big free agent. But, you know, with the way it's looking now, that may be good enough to win this division. So, yeah, I wouldn't understand trading a Darvish. You know, I'll give you Brian. I understand if you've got to deal him and get something that's going to help you. You know, don't go out and get a prospect or two prospects. Get somebody you can bring back and put in your rotation right now. All right. And then, you know, hopefully they'll have some time, or, you know, maybe you can re-sign them for less money than what you were going to pay Bryant. But, you know, I mean, go out there and start asking and start looking and see, you know, see what you can figure out to do this. Just don't go, oh, we're going to give everybody away and start over, because there's no guarantee it works the second time.
Yes, I did.
You know, and I get new value is probably pretty high coming off the year he had. So if somebody does knock you over with a deal, go ahead and take it.
Yeah.
But don't, you know, don't do the full rebuild.
No.
You know, I mean, I don't want to see Baez go. I don't want to see Contreras go. I mean, you know, Contreras is one of the top three catchers in the game, and Baez is an MVP candidate. You know, Rizzo is the heart and soul of your team. You can't get rid of him.
Nope.
So, you know, I don't, looking at it, I don't understand, you know, kind of the mentality behind it on why, you know, why this is the time to do it.
Yeah, well, and like you said, how do I feel about a Cubs rebuild? I guess I won't need my dad's password next year, because I'll just watch the White Sox. You know, and that's the truth. You know, it's not that I don't want to support the team, but I'm not going to support another rebuild because, A, I don't think it works. It doesn't really work. Especially when you're the third. I have to get into this again. They're a money machine. They don't need to rebuild. They shouldn't be rebuilding.
And, you know, if you go around and you look at some of the best farm systems, all right, you know, Tampa Bay is rated number one. They're not going to deal with you. You're not going to be able to give them a veteran player and get prospects back. San Diego is number two. Maybe there's something there, but obviously they don't need Chris Bryant. Could you sell them Yu Darvish? Maybe with Mike Clevenger being down. You know, he's going to miss the entire season with Tommy John. So maybe you could roll something in there. You know, there's always the Dodgers. You know, like everybody mentions, anytime a trade comes up, they're ranked three. Then you've got the Marlins 4, the Tigers 5, the Diamondbacks 6. You're not getting anything done there. Those are all rebuilding teams as well. Then here, Dan, we stumble to a pretty interesting one. Minnesota is at 7. Now, obviously, they have Josh Donaldson, so I don't know if there's a fit for Chris Bryant, but they do have a DH option. So that could be possible, and I'm sure they wouldn't mind having another starting pitcher. You know, your guy, Jake Odorizzi, is a free agent and hasn't been, you know, they haven't mentioned about re-signing him. So, you know, and I mean, if Minnesota could make a deal like that, they could really lock up the Central or at least give the White Sox some problems. So, yeah, but, you know, like going through here, you know, there just aren't a lot of teams, you know, that are going to need these guys.
You know, and it's interesting because you say rebuild. You know, who would the Cubs trade to? You know, you mentioned the Rays. And as far as I'm concerned, Big Jack, as far as I can remember, regardless of being the small market and the fact that they're lucky if they can draw a million people for a season, so much so that apparently the general manager, president, owner, I forget who it was exactly, is actually trying to ink a deal, which, you know, obviously is barring COVID, that in roughly, you know, by the end of the decade, that he'll be splitting time with Montreal, which I still think is stupid, you know. Or is it a precursor to, hey, Tampa, you don't want to do what we want to do? Well, we already have half a season here. We'll just pull it all over there. So,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is. But, I mean, the Joe Madden days to now the Kevin Cash days. We're almost talking about a decade now. When have they rebuilt? When have they torn their team down on purpose?
because they draft smartly. You know, that's the one thing they do. They draft smartly. They find those foreign players to bring in and, you know, get in their system. And they just continue to restock it. I mean, you know, they had a couple down years because they did have the number one pick a time or two. So, you know, that does happen. But, you know, it's an incredibly, you know, you look at it, it's an incredibly well-run franchise for what they do. And, you know, they just continue to – they don't rebuild, they restock.
Yeah, well,
you know, and like
kind of
waiting for. I think you picked him up last year when they brought him up. You know, it should be the next guy, should be Brendan McKay that we're talking about here.
Yeah,
the left-handed pitcher who's also a DH. You know, and the Rays do things like, I'm sure you've heard the rumor, Dan, Blake Snell's on the trading block. Mm-hmm. Blake Snell has a really nice contract. I think he's got 3 years left on it. Former Cy Young Award winner. If the Rays deal Blake Snell, what are they going to get for him, Dan? How many prospects are they going to get? 3 or 4? Maybe even 5?
Oh, they're not getting them from here.
Right, but I mean, you know, they're going to get Blake Snell, and where? What are they going to do with the guys they get for him? They're going to stick him in the minor leagues and teach him the Tampa Bay Rays way. And then in 5 years, somebody will be the next Blake Snell. Maybe it's Brendan McKay, and that's why they're confident in trading Snell. They have a couple other highly ranked pitchers, a guy by the name of Shea Baz, and the other guy who's been slowed down by injury is Brett Honeywell. So they're, you know, it's what they do. Nobody else can do it like this.
No, and that's kind of my point. You know, I'm not saying that the Cubs need to do exactly what they do, but the Rays are the team that basically started the game 163 in the toughest division. We were talking, you know, going up against the Yankees and the Red Sox, and somehow the Rays are in first place. You know, may not end the season that way, but they compete till the end of the year. Whether they do the starter or, you know, the relief starter, whatever the gimmick is, they can continue to do it.
Yeah, well, you know, when you look at it, I mean, you mentioned, you know, the Yankees will spend as much money as anybody. The Red Sox can if they want to. And yet every year, well, God, here's the Rays who don't pay anybody. And they trade guys like David Price, who's probably the greatest player in their franchise's history. They don't care. You know, we're going to go out and we're going to get these guys that fit our system and we're going to continue to do our thing. And it works. And I don't know why more teams haven't copied it. I don't know why the Royals and the Padres or the Pirates haven't figured out how the Rays draft and what they do to just do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, it's just, you know, it was frightening when I read the Darvish thing about, you know, God, does that lead to another rebuild? You know, I know Tom is due it a lot. The music needs Dan and I believe in. I think it's Tom is due it. If you hear me tomorrow, it'll be here at 5 o'clock. Dan is going to go away for the weekend. He'll be back Monday. While we're gone, you know that you have 4:10 radio.com. Something on the ground that was posted yesterday at the weekend. The link takes you right to the Facebook page. You know the deal. You're swung over there. Go ahead and like something. Why not? Don't forget to Twitter feed, which is at SportsTime Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter if you want to reach out to us. And if you stop by and listen to us live, thanks for doing that. But remember, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want. TuneIn.com.
SportsTime Radio.com.